everybody. It's Sam with Rowdy Alternative, and today we're with April from My Sora. How you doing?
Doing great. How are you, Sam?
Fantastic. I've been snowed in for the past like day and a half, going a little crazy, so it's good to be able to talk to someone.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, we just got a light sprinkling. It didn't really stick to the grass, but it's definitely below freezing, so it's pretty cold.
Yeah, I'm not big on the snow, so this 10 inches that we got is a little rough for me, but it's whatever. We're good. We'll survive. So, but yeah.
It melts eventually.
It'll melt eventually. A good thing we got the window scrapers. That's a lifesaver. But I guess let's go ahead and get started. I guess, what have you guys been up to? I know, obviously, the 2025 just kicked off. You probably had a little bit of a break for the holidays. So what are you guys looking at right now with shows or music or anything?
Yeah, so we're very happy the new year is starting. We're kicking off this project officially on January 17th with our first single called Girls Just Wanna. So we're really stoked about that. And then we're celebrating that with a show on January 22nd at the End here in Nashville. We'll have Do Mutual with us and Alistair. So we're kind of calling it like a new metal night since there's not a ton of new metal shows going on in Nashville. So we're just trying to like rally the troops, get some cool like new metal rock fans out to the show, and you know, meet some new friends and meet some new fans. So hopefully we can start a little scene here or find it.
yeah absolutely. I myself am a gigantic new metal fan, and it's always fun when you stumble across like an act or anyone who like actually does that, like a modern version of it, because you know, it's, people think new metal, they think like 90s, early 2000s naturally.
Absolutely. And
so it's cool to find new bands and artists who do that. So I guess we'll start out with, have you always been leaning towards that genre creatively? Have you always been like new metal, or did you start as something else, or how'd that all start?
I've always been a huge fan of new metal. I grew up in fifth and sixth grade getting Slipknot CDs for Christmas, Marilyn Manson's music I've heard growing up. My parents were always huge into like Linkin Park and heavy bands. My dad's a huge Rob Zombie fan. So I've always had a huge appreciation for the genre. In terms of what I've always done musically, I've sort of always leaned a little bit rock, a little pop in the more recent years. But my husband and I were producing for about the last 5 years, and we were doing a lot of the same stuff. And we're so grateful for all the artists that come in and out. But we sort of were like, what are we not doing? What do we want to do that we're not doing? And he's always been into heavy music, hardcore music. He's a huge A Day to Remember fan. So we just kind of joined forces and we're like, let's just create something super heavy and but super pop too. We wanted it to be structured, like disguising these sort of pop songs into these new metal tracks. So it was really just for fun at first, just to see what we could do. But it wound up feeling good. And we just, you know, when you finally get a sound and, you know, you can kind of keep growing it, that's, for me, that's how I know I have something really cool and fun. So that's kind of where it's been at, long story short. But I've always wanted to do rock music. Rock music has always been my, where my heart's at. So this niche of rock music that has a more hip hop undertone, and you know, it can go anywhere. That's why I also love the title of new metal. There's a lot of room to be anything you want.
Yeah, and that's the cool thing about it, especially nowadays, because I feel like if you look at its heyday from back then, it was very specific. Like, you know, like you hear Limp Bizkit or Korn, it's like the hip hop undertones mixed with the heavy sound. But if you do, like you mentioned pop, which I thought was very interesting, because that, I feel like that is where it is now. If you look at like, I'm thinking of like the biggest bands that might, like, as of right now, that could be, you know, put under that umbrella. I like Falling in Reverse comes to mind. There's a lot of heaviness, the pop, the he raps all the time now. Like, there's a whole bunch of bands, and they've been big like for a while. I feel like it's like they've been big for a while, but it's also very low key. I feel like, I don't want to say like cult fan bases, because it's not that. It's more of like, it's kind of hard to describe. Could you really describe that, the current state of it right now?
I think it's just entering the mainstream. I think heavy act and rock music, nu metal, rap, all these sort of genres and subgenres, they're always happening because it's a lifestyle. It's a mental state. So I think they're always happening. They're always bubbling beneath the surface. But I think we're in these times right now where I think heavy music and angry music and more honest music is resonating with the mainstream. So I think it's really cool, too, because a year and a half ago, I was telling people in the industry, contacts of mine, oh, I'm going to start a nu metal band. They're like, why?
Why?
Why? Is that, do those make money? Like, what's the secret? But I genuinely feel like there's a wave in the mainstream of people really appreciating how honest you can be in this music, how good it feels when those breakdowns hit. So I don't know. That's my personal take on it. Mm-hmm. But I also love all the new Falling in Reverse stuff. I mean, it's incredible.
Yeah.
It's incredibly good. The productions are incredibly good. Tyler Smith is a genius.
Mm-hmm.
Ronnie's a complete maniac, and it's totally working. I love it.
Yeah.
So I'm a huge fan. I'm a huge fan.
Yeah, me too. He's, you know, a lot of people love him or hate him these days, but it doesn't matter if his music's good, and I think it's good. I'm right there with you.
I think so. That music cannot be made unless he is making it.
Mm-hmm.
For better or for worse. So that I think, you know, it can't, if you like that music, you can't hate on that man.
Yeah, I agree.
Because they are mutually exclusive.
Yeah,
they are mutually
that is
exclusive.
Him.
Yeah, and I love it. I love it. It's inspiring to me. I feel like more people should be able to talk more shit. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what I want to do.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So. And you're right about the whole, like entering the mainstream. Like, if you look at the pendulum always swings, right? Is it pendulum or pendulum? Either way, you know what I mean. One thing's popular, then it goes right to the next thing. And mm-hmm. I think, like, in the past couple years, like, you could look at, I know, like, the country music, like Zach Bryan is like massive, that kind of music. Before that, it was all like the trap, like hip hop stuff. And I do feel like nowadays it is swinging to like more of the metal side of things and like the hard rock. And it's never been dead. People say rock is dead all the time, but it's just now it's getting popular again. And it's really cool to see. And like a lot of the old bands are also making like a resurgence too. Like, a lot of the bands that people like to hate on a couple years ago are now the big thing. Like Nickelback's massive again.
Nickelback is also so good.
Yeah. And they're just
so
fantastic.
Good.
Like they're the quintessential, like fantastic band that people just hated on for no reason.
Yeah.
And you look at them and like Limp Bizkit's touring again and like all that kind of stuff. So it is very true to say that like it's back with a vengeance, and it's good to see like new artists along with the classic old school guys, you know, all coming together and playing these festivals and like going out and playing shows and creating. So it's very fantastic. And I guess let's back up a bit just to get to know you a bit. How did you get started musically, like before Mayasaur, before all this?
So I've been playing piano and singing since I was about 4 years old. My mom is a singer and a piano player, not professionally, just something we always shared together. So she taught me how to play and sing. And fast forward to about 12, 13, I started writing poetry and songs, you know, just started growing them from there. Then in high school, I was writing musicals. So I was writing these like rock opera type musicals in high school.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was really fun. I produced one of them towards the end of high school. So we got to see the whole thing and it was really amazing. And that was sort of a turning point for me because I realized I wasn't into traditional theater. I was more interested in rock and roll music. And I was also interested in the business side of actually producing and facilitating musical events.
Mm-hmm.
So moving into college, I got a business degree. I didn't get into music school, but I got a business degree as well. So I was like, all right, this is a sign. Let me make the most of this. I got a business degree. And then I just started gigging in different bands from there. My brother and I and some high school friends had a band for many years that I fronted. Then I was in a few iterations of that band. And then I met my husband. We weren't married at the time, but we met when we were both touring. I had played in his band. Now we're like 5 or 6 years later here. And we've just basically been writing and producing full time since about 2020. Luckily, mm-hmm. COVID had an influx of people who got laid off. So they're like, hey, I want music produced. Who produces your music? We're like, well, we do. So we got a lot of work and it sort of, you know, bloomed from there. So that's what we've sort of been doing. And that's my story for this, a very short story, but.
No, that's fine. And like when people talk about like when COVID hit and like around that time, like obviously, you know, it sucked for everyone, but at the same time you do hear about like, yes, you have a lot of bands that they can't tour or anything, but I do hear a lot of them comment about how they were able to really lock in like creatively and like actually record and make music. So I imagine with you guys being like producers and able to do that yourselves, like that probably COVID probably didn't have a big effect on that. If not, it probably made it even more, you know, more stuff coming through.
Yeah, it definitely grew the production business a lot. We were touring a lot before that with Jacob's project. But yeah, at least we had the production stuff to kind of grow during that time. And it was an interesting time too, because like TikTok was a new thing. So even just learning that and the state of what the music industry was kind of going to look like moving forward made me realize what world did I want to be in. I was like, I don't resonate with a lot of the pop artists on TikTok the way that they promote their music. I don't resonate with this group, but I did heavily resonate with the way that rock acts and even nu metal acts promote themselves and, you know, what spaces they take up even just digitally. So it was an interesting time to reassess what I was doing and what I enjoyed doing and being, I guess, known for, seen doing.
Yeah. Was that the whole TikTok and social media side is obviously such a huge part of the industry now when it comes to promoting your music and everything. And some artists are made solely from their TikToks and stuff like that. And, you know, whether that's good or bad, you could argue both sides, but was that hard to kind of like evolve into like learning how to promote yourself on that? What was that whole process like for you guys?
Yeah. It's a little difficult for me because the advice I kept getting in the beginning was be authentic, be authentic, be authentic. And I'm like, well, authentically, I wouldn't even have a phone.
Yeah.
One. Two, I would definitely not be holding it in front of my face every waking moment of the day talking to it.
Yep.
I prefer like human interaction. But the best thing I feel like I learned is you can't take it so literally. It's just another way to be seen and to market yourself. And I mean, in the recent weeks, me and Jacob have been having so much fun just, I don't know, finding creative ways to market the project that are a little bit off the wall, a little bit more, a little funnier. So like, we're trying to not take ourselves so seriously, because I think having to take yourself so seriously and have all these high stakes when it comes to digital marketing or putting yourself out there on TikTok, it's really vulnerable. So it's hard to not like judge yourself in a big way or feel like, you know, if you don't get it right, everything's going to fall and whatever. But I mean, we've just been having fun, like kind of making a joke of it and, you know, being silly. So we're trying to work all that into the brand, like of My Sora too. And, you know, question everything, think a lot, but have fun and take it easy. You know, like we only have this short amount of time. So yeah, we're still like navigating it, but I definitely have come, I have a bit more peace with it than I used to in the beginning, for sure.
Right. And it also helps that like you've also had that experience, like actually like playing shows and everything, like to back it up. Like, you know, some people, like they just pop off on TikTok and they have never played a show before. And then now they're wanting, you know, now they have millions of followers. Like, hey, when are you going to play live? It seems very overwhelming, I think.
I would hate to be in that position, to be honest, because I remember my first early performances, and I also remember my first early like recorded performances, like getting the live board mix, like what you actually sounded like through the system, which is way worse than, you know, in the room. But like those little learning curves have to happen for everybody. So for your first live recorded gig to be on SNL or something huge like that is probably terrifying. And it might not be a true representation of how talented you truly are, because it's just a different medium.
Mm-hmm.
Because being a really talented recording artist and an entertainer via the internet are two really important, like they're huge skills. Like being, I wouldn't even call myself a recording artist because it's extremely difficult for me. I prefer to just entertain live and sing live.
Yeah.
So those are all very important skill sets that all need to be there. So it does suck when people don't have the ability, even during COVID, they didn't have the ability to actually just get out there and try it, mm-hmm. not in front of millions of people. But I mean, if the fans are true, they'll stick by and they can figure it out. But yeah, I am always people like, oh, they suck live. I'm like, dude, it's not easy to not suck live. Like,
mm-hmm. yeah,
you I'd really imagine. Have to be seasoned. Your breathing changes, like everything changes. So, mm-hmm. I mean, but hopefully people can get out there and play more shows now while being TikTok famous, and maybe it'll work out better for them.
Yeah, hope so.
Yeah.
So when did you get to Nashville? Have you always been there? Did you move there?
We got here in May of 2023.
Okay.
So what is that, like a year and a half ago now? It's mm-hmm. about to be 2 years in May. Oh my goodness. Yeah, so about then, and before that, we spent a little time in a very rural area of Pennsylvania, which okay. was nice. And then before that, I was in New York my whole life.
Oh, nice. So that's a bit of a change there from New York to Nashville. So being a, and you know, Nashville, it's home to all different kinds of music, but it's primarily, you know, like country music city and everything. And you have a lot
certainly
of country,
is.
Yeah, have a lot of country songwriters, a lot of country performers. And from your standpoint, was it hard to kind of slide into that community or get, I don't know, get shows or get like just being able to slide in there and like really like play your own style and sound?
It's interesting because I feel like we've been embraced very much so by Nashville, which is great. We didn't come here with the new metal project. It formed here.
Okay.
So I think that was a product of being here and being around so many different types of people and different things and different perspectives. And it definitely made me realize being here that I can never walk into a room in Tennessee and people think that I'm from here, which is fine. That's mm-hmm. okay. I don't need that. And I love the people that are from here. But I realized that that's a strength of mine that I should use to my advantage. I was like, what do I do that no one else here does? Okay, mm-hmm. I can sing metal. I can
yeah.
I can scream. And like my husband can play like nasty guitar riffs, like great, and like drop tunings, great. I don't really know anyone doing that like this way here. I don't know. There probably mm-hmm. are, but we're still, I feel like, relatively new, and we just are starting to play shows now. So we're making our rounds meeting anybody that's doing rock out here. But yeah, we're trying to use it to sort of our advantage that it's very different to be trying to break a new metal band in Nashville. Because honestly, like, and the good thing is when one person hears about it, they only have one or two friends that might be able to help us or that have a specific interest in this genre.
Yeah.
So we found our people very quickly, which is great. Mm-hmm. And they're all really cool. And then any of my friends that are in other genres always love coming to the shows or hearing the music because it's just like so out there for them, mm-hmm. or it's just so like different. It's kind of like a break in the usual thing. So I've enjoyed it. I like sort of being an oddball in the scene. But I mean, we've gotten a few country cuts and a few country productions while we've been down here. So that's also been great.
Yeah.
But I definitely, when I get in the writing rooms with people, I always make it very clear to them. I'm like, just so you're aware, I am a city person for 27 years. I've really not been here very long. I will give you a great melody. I can produce something cool, but you're not going to get that authentic country lyric from me. I can work with you, but we're going to like, we need a few other heavy hitters in the room to like really get something authentic because it's not going to come from me. But this is what I've learned, and people know that, and I know that, so it's okay.
Yeah. So, and that's great. It's cool to have like a tight knit community like that with like a certain style or sound, like especially new metal. Cause I've said before, I'm such a new metal fan, and it's so cool seeing new artists playing it. And, is it hard to find an audience for that? Not necessarily just cause you're in Nashville, but just because a lot of people would say that new metal is like an old genre, you know, it's not really an mm-hmm. active genre, which isn't true, but there is some truth to it not being as popping as it was. So do you find it kind of difficult to find like your audience, or how's that all work?
Yeah. I mean, I personally find it no different, like no less difficult now than I did when I was doing pop. Whenever I've done mainstream, like stuff that was in the mainstream, it's actually, I felt like it was harder to get visibility because it was so oversaturated.
Right. Yeah.
Whereas I feel like now, obviously, we're trying to grow the band and do different things, but there's a bit of a more specific channel to run through. Mm-hmm. Than just to be like, okay, well, pop music, what does pop music do? You know, it's super broad. It's got, you know, all these different elements. So, I mean, yes and no. It's hard to get an audience anywhere you go, but this first single too, it airs a little bit more on the side of like rock versus mm-hmm. new metal. Like we have other songs that are ready to be put out that have legitimate like rap scream breakdowns in them that are more in the new metal style, but we kind of went with this first single, Girls Just Wanna, because it's a little bit more palatable, I feel like, for just kind of a regular listener. So we'll see, we're still kind of trying to find it, but it's been not much different so far. Yeah.
Well, I mean that's good then, if you already kind of know what you're getting into. And I always use this example every time I talk to like a rock artist or someone like that is, I know a lot of artists in Texas, like the Texas music scene. And I don't know if you know much about it, but it's the, you know, country music, right? It was country music mm-hmm. for the longest time. And then in the past, like, hell, I think it's like 5 years or so now, like it is totally flipped to like rock, grungy kind of stuff. Like a lot right. of country artists just switched up to the rock stuff. And it's good, but like you said, it gets a little oversaturated. And I feel sure. like even if there is a fantastic artist, they'll just get skipped over because there's so many like them. And right. and I feel like the name of the game is to stand out. And yes. like, what do you do to stand out when you like compare yourself to other acts?
It's hard because, you know, so many things have been done, but mm-hmm. I think the secret for me and for us, like what we try to do, is at least combine a bunch of things that have worked in the past and try to make them into one thing. Mm-hmm. So it was we're producers, so we mostly work off of reference songs. So where we're like, okay, what do the drums do here? So in the beginning of trying to make Mayasora music, we're having a hard time finding like a female fronted new metal band or like something that was technically new metal with a female vocal on it that we could duplicate or felt true to me. Mm-hmm. So we're like, our first thing that we thought, we're like, okay, we want like Limp Bizkit tracks mm-hmm. with like a Sia vocal melody.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
Yeah. So like that's, yeah. So like, cause I prefer to sing more like that.
Yeah.
But I prefer tracks to sound more like, you know, Limp Bizkit.
And it's different.
Whatever.
Like, that's what makes it stand out, right? Like, that's not something
you
really
hear. I hope
so.
Yeah. I mean, when I've said that to a decent amount of people, and some of them are like, ugh. And then other people are like, oh, that's okay. It could be cool. But, you know, I don't know. So this is, we couldn't really find exactly what we were looking for. And we were looking around. But, I mean, yeah, there's a few, obviously. Like, and also with Emily Armstrong coming into Linkin Park, that was also really cool timing because that, you know, gave us a new point of reference for what yeah. a female vocal can sound like over new metal. So, mm-hmm. you know, it was pretty cool. And obviously like there's Spirit Box who fucking rocks and mm-hmm. things like that, but she screams like that's yeah. a serious talent. And I'm not a screamer in that way. Mm-hmm. That, I mean, I don't think anyone is. Any woman, she's the best. She's like the top of the top.
Yeah.
Like insane. So like, I don't have that. So to me, I'm like, I got to do something vocally because I am a singer. At the end of the day, I sing. That's what mm-hmm. I think I can do the best. I got to like make sure that is heard. So yeah, that's kind of, I don't know. You just kind of pick through, oh, what can I do versus what can I do? And try to just, you know.
Yeah.
Fluff that up as much as you can.
Yeah. And now that you brought up Linkin Park, what was your whole thought on that when her joining and taking Chester's spot? Because obviously a lot of people were not fans of that whole thing, or like, they didn't like it being her specifically, or just anybody taking it.
Yeah.
Like what did you think about that?
I think it's just an uncomfortable experience. Like, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? I don't even think it's like is she good? Is she bad? Was it a good idea or a bad idea? I mean, I was really stoked on it.
Yeah.
I think it was one of the best ways they could have done this because
and they got the blessing right from them, from like the family and everything. I thought I might not have read into that.
I have no yeah. idea. I'm sure it was fine to some degree, mm-hmm. but because obviously like they grew up with him as well, mm-hmm. you know, I don't think it's really out of greed. I'm sure they can all retire and be fine.
Yeah, I'm sure they're well off.
I'm sure they're like fine, you know, so I genuinely think it's like they missed the band. Like Mike Shinoda wanted to reinvigorate the band. So mm-hmm. to me, I think I think the way they did it was probably the best way they could have mm-hmm. because she's really good. First of all, yeah. she should have already been way more famous because she's mm-hmm. so good. And I think it was also smart to put a female in that part too, not being biased at all, because it's not to say, oh, we're replacing Chester. It's like we're putting a new spin on something and honoring what he's done with this talented person who can do it all. Mm-hmm. So I just thought that was a smart thing. But I think people are just like, you know, generally people don't cope with loss well.
Yeah.
You know, it's like a breakup. It's a death. It's everything. So people don't cope with that stuff. And these people, especially with rock and these heavy bands, like the fan bases are far more emotionally attached and damaged, and they deal with different things. That's why they're attracted to these artists and this music. I mean, I'm one of them. I get it. So it's like, yeah. you want to, they feel probably so connected and attached and are probably still mourning his loss all the time. I mean, I know mm-hmm. I do. I get upset sometimes when I hear the music. I'm like, oh.
Yeah.
Or I wish I could have seen him live, you know, mm-hmm. but you know, they're still probably dealing with that and feel like, oh, why couldn't I control things? Or I wish I could, you know, I don't know. So that's just my thought, but I'm stoked on it. I'm glad they're back. I think it's really cool. I want to open for them. It would be great.
Right. Yeah.
Now I mean, there's more of a shot.
That's right. And like, yeah. it's just, I, whenever like something like this happens with groups, and I know obviously Chester went out in the tragic way, but like whether like a band member leaves, or like the singer leaves and they bring like someone else in, it's like there's always like a large group of people that aren't about it. But it's like you're getting more music from your favorite band. I don't see why you're going to be bummed out.
Right. Yeah. And it's tough too, because what people I don't think realize is that a band or an artist project, it's a business. Mm-hmm. You know, if the vice president is unable to do his job or dies or leaves, you need to hire someone else to keep the business rolling. Yep. It's not just like it affects the fans and just the band. I mean, I don't know exact numbers, but I know the big acts like the arena acts, they employ over 100 people. Mm-hmm. Like I feel like that's even low. They employ hundreds of people like full time, you know, so yeah. it's not just like, oh, you know, the bass player needs to leave or so-and-so, like the whole band needs to stop. It's like, no, it would really be better for everybody if
yeah.
this one person can get appropriately like replaced or, mm-hmm. you know, honored depending on the circumstances, and everybody can still enjoy the music and have a job.
Yeah.
So yeah. it is tough from a fan perspective though, because unless you're like completely jaded by the business like I am, then you have no idea.
Yeah. So getting back to your guys' music, do you feel that being like producers and everything and like actually knowing how to do that, like does that give you like is advantage a good word? Like does that give you like a yeah, I guess I'll just use it. An advantage over like yeah. not being it. Like I'd imagine it probably has to help out a lot.
Yeah, it helps for a number of reasons, but there's obviously, you know, to every side, there's also negatives. Like mm-hmm. we can kind of make anything, I guess, not like in an egotistical way. It's like yeah. we have so many different tools like to make mm-hmm. whatever we want. Sometimes you can get too excited and go off the path. And usually like producers are supposed to sort of like rein you in and keep you boxed into a certain sound for a good reason. You're a product, mm-hmm. you know, you need to have like, yeah. So sometimes between the two of us, you know, it's hard to get like carried away or to like not be super focused on the sound, but now we treat it that way because we found it. Mm-hmm. But it's definitely a huge advantage, because one of the most expensive things that an artist has to do is invest in some kind of reproduction, because it needs to be out on Spotify.
Yeah.
You need to be able to tease it on socials, and it needs to stand up to most of what else is out there. Mm-hmm. You know, and you always want it to represent it. So I feel like, I mean, we just get to do all of it ourselves. So I'm very fortunate for that. eventually it'd be really cool to like have the budget to bring in people who are like experts, you know, and really mm-hmm. can add something and add new levels. Like, I don't know if I want to do it forever this way, but I mean, it's all intertwined. Like, we're producing it, but Jacob also writes all the guitar parts, all the bass parts, and all the drum parts. Yep. So it's sort of like also the band jamming in a sense. So they're sort of intertwined in that way. We don't just write the songs and then produce them. It's like we sort of, you know, come up with an idea and then work everything in, like as if it's a whole band jamming or, you know,
yeah,
like that. So it definitely is. I'm very grateful that I have Jacob to really like lead the way. And then I'm glad that I at least have the language and the ability to like communicate and yeah. get what I need out of the process for sure.
For sure. And you mentioned finding your sound, and you've hit on it throughout this interview already, but like how would you describe Myosaurus sound? Like obviously like the nu metal aspect, but if you could describe it in any other, in any way, like what would it be?
It's big. It's loud. It's very big and loud, which is the broadest term. But I also just think it's tight and it's very rhythmic too. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the best way to describe it, I guess, sonically, you know. And obviously we always try to, our motto at least, or our kind of check on our checklist, it's like, can you do this to it?
Right. Yeah.
Literally. We yeah. will be sitting in this very room being like, no, you can't do it. You can't do it. It doesn't work. So like, that's like check one. Like if we've gone through something and made it, like it doesn't have like the bop, yeah. you know, you need mm-hmm. to like be able to bop. So like, that's a silly thing, but it kind of like, it separates like, oh, did we write a punk song or did we write a nu metal song?
Yes.
Or like, what did we do here? Yeah. So, you know, that's kind of an important factor of it. But yeah, and all the songs, like the themes are kind of always just, you know, calling out either people or things or agendas or ideas. Like it's all kind of like with that attitude too. So that's kind of like a thread in it as well.
Right. Do you both write, like, are you both like with the songwriting, like with the lyrics, or is that just you, or is it a group effort?
I'm primarily writing the songs.
Mm-hmm.
Jacob always takes on the role of, you know, if something could be tightened up a little bit,
mm-hmm.
you know, he'll add in it. But he, I'm trying to think of like the ones that are currently finished, it was a lot of me. We had two co-writes with this guy named Drew Kennedy.
Okay.
He's a songwriter from Texas.
I've heard of him. I've heard of him for sure.
He's phenomenal.
Yeah.
He's phenomenal. And we always joke around that when people see his name on the credits of these songs, he's like, they're going to think it's a different Drew Kennedy. But the guy's a prolific songwriter. So mm-hmm. the lyrics are very important in this genre as well, in terms of like how intelligent they sound. And he's really good at that and good for that. So he helped with some lyrics on two tracks, 86 and Money Hungry Honey. Those are two that are coming out like towards the end of the year. And then I kind of did the rest, a little help from Jacob. And sometimes Jake will write songs on the guitar and sort of bring them to me. And then we, you know, but yeah, to me, and I always say this, like, I think some people are a little bit more stubborn about it, but if the song is good, I will sing it.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you just know, like, you just know, hey, this is good. Like, yeah, I there's like not a lot of things unless I don't agree with the message, but this good song's a good song. Yeah. So I'll take it. I'm not too like prideful of that, you know?
Right. Yeah. Like, just like with me, as like the lyrical standpoint of like writing songs is just like a mystery to me. Like it's, I've always been, I play
me
the
too.
Drums. So I've always been more of I've been more of like the musical side, I guess, is the way to put it, like the instrumental side. So like yeah. this you're talking about, like that's usually what I'm like usually paid attention to. So when I hear like a good song lyrically, I'm like, how the fuck does someone even think of that? Like it blows my mind.
I feel the same way. I feel the same way. I mean, because there's especially out in Nashville, I mean, there is a frequency and a speed in which people think of brilliant ideas that I don't know if I'm capable or will ever be capable of, but people could just every day, three times a day, get into writers' rooms and just bang some great shit out. You know, they're really good at it. But I've been doing better at like writing and not judging it so much, because mm-hmm. I think that's something that Nashville sort of taught me. It's like, just like, write it, let it live, and you can always revisit it. You don't have to, it doesn't have to always be so serious. Like, you could just have fun, write a song, and, you know, check it out later. But when your songs are kind of about, like, anarchy, it's like kind of hard to just like chill while you're writing them.
Yeah, I'd imagine.
Like, oh yeah, like, it's just not really something you like write around a campfire, you know, so it is hard to kind of just like relax and not think about the severity of what you're saying when you're like calling out all the sheeple and all the issues with the way that greed has taken over the entire freaking country. Like, you need, it's like, you know, you get kind of hyped when you're talking about that stuff.
Yeah, that's funny. The image of that is hilarious. In like a writer's room, and like, what'd you guys think? And they're just looking at you like, oh yeah, cool.
Oh no, I gotta watch myself. I gotta seriously watch myself. That's why, like, I mean, I'm starting to bring in other friends on it, because I think we have like the general vibe down, so people can get into it. But being in those initial writing sessions, trying to write for like this project, I was like, no, no one's ever gonna understand what I'm saying. Listen to this, like, it's just gonna be wild. So yeah, it's a little funny, but that's what I write about. That's what I like to write about.
As long as it works, but
it works so, for me.
Yeah. So I just want to make sure I'm right here. So with this project, you've played live with this project before, right?
Yep, just once before. Our first show was at the Analog.
Okay, so how would you describe your live show then?
Really fun. I mean, I had a lot of fun. I pretty much start the show by like running on stage and like verbally assaulting most of the audience, but like with love.
Yeah, sure.
And then I'm just like, you know, just like a casual, like, get the fuck up, you know, stuff like that. And then we just rock out. It's super fun. Jake rips on guitar. For the first show, we had our very, very good friend Jerome Betts, who's a killer bass player. He's phenomenal. So he ripped that show. And then we had Lou Vecchio play the drums for the last show, and he's also playing this new one, and he's formerly played in New Politics, and he tours at Alexandra K. So he's amazing. So it was just a great like live band show. We had everybody doing this by the end. That was good.
That's when you know you got them.
Yeah, I think we did it. But they're super fun. I high energy. We designed the show so there's no real breaks in the music, which I like. So, and it's probably best if I don't like talk in excess during the breaks, because I'll just start having random conversations and then we'll get off track. And
yeah, you
know, there's a show to play. So yeah, I guess how I would. I had fun. I don't know if anyone else did, but it seemed like it. I think we all had fun by the end. The audience.
right on, that's awesome.
Yeah,
because I think I say it like probably every episode I say this, but to me, like, I think what really grabs like new fans, of course, like the music put out on like Spotify and everything in the studio, but like a good live show, I think, is what really you get your new fans and also keeps them coming back, I think, at least that's in my case. So I think like a live show is very important in that aspect.
I agree. I mean, that's the beauty of rock and roll shows. They are always, I've seen the best rock bands of my lifetime live. Mm-hmm. Kiss, I've seen Muse, seen Biffy Clyro. I mean, I'm like forgetting a million, but those are the three I've recently seen. And I mean, the live shows are always mind-blowing to me. The power of the music. It's like a full body experience. And obviously I love the recordings, but the live show it's just always a little bit more special. So, I mean, and I just love singing live. There's nothing that compares to it. It's great. So I'm a big proponent of the live show.
Yeah.
I love that. Yeah,
absolutely. So let's talk about what you got coming out. It was end of this month. What was the date again?
So it's January 17th. It's coming up quickly. And it's our debut single called Girls Just Wanna.
All right. So with Girls Just Wanna, what's the story theme? What's the story behind this one?
So we had sort of had a few songs created for My Sora. We were like almost there sonically. And at the time we had seen Kiss at Bridgestone. So it was a good segue. we had just seen them. It was last time they were playing in Nashville, like forever. And so the show was amazing. So we went on this huge tangent for the next like week of just all things Kiss, like documentaries, whatever. And we saw a documentary, and I don't know who was saying it, but essentially their manager at the time said, you need a song that is essentially the mission statement of your band, or, you know, it's the theme song of your band. What is it? And then they wrote, I Want to Rock and Roll All Night, which is their biggest song. So I was like, I never thought of it that way. Like, if I could write the theme song either of my life or this band, like, what would it be? And so later that night, sort of as a joke, I was like playing guitar. I don't really play guitar, so that's the first joke. And then the second joke was I wrote the lyric, they say girls just want to have fun, but all I want to do is fuck shit up. So, and it was kind of a joke at the time. I was sort of rapping it. It's not how it is in the final version. And I wrote it because I was just like, yeah, I don't fucking fit in to this industry. I don't fit into what any, I don't, like, I can't, I feel like I'm having such a hard time aligning with what I feel like I'm supposed to be doing. And then I've just always wind up like fucking shit up or being too harsh or, you know, feeling like this oddball tomboy weirdo. So I don't know. I just wrote that lyric. And then the next day, me and Jake went into the studio to write something completely different. And then he was messing around on guitar, came up with that intro riff that's in the song now. And then we just, I don't know, we started building a track. And then I was like, oh, I have this stupid lyric from like last night. And he's like, no, that's actually pretty cool. And then I just started writing the lyrics from there. I kind of just wrote it like about the, just the female experience and not like the modern, like, woe is me female experience like that, like the actual, like, growing up as a girl, like these little nuances that I feel like only young girls experience and they're never spoken about, you know. They're small things, and that's what shapes the girls of today. And I don't feel like they're necessarily I don't even think it's like a time specific thing. I think it's just dealing with your own biology, dealing with the body you were born into, the way it's perceived the older that you get, you know. It's these are things that have been happening freaking forever. So I just kind of wrote about that in a little way, and it just sort of became my theme song. I don't know. And then I don't know, people just were like, this should be a single. I'm like, okay, whatever you say. And then I just, cause I don't know the difference. I don't know goddamn thing. I don't know. So I'm like, sure, whatever you say, put it out. So that's kind of what the story was on that one.
That's awesome. I can't wait for it. I've seen like the posts, little snips on the socials. I'm really excited. It's going to be badass.
The rest of the song's very cool too. I just like want people to actually listen to it. So I just keep irritating everyone with the chorus like should or whatever.
It's the new age, you know. That's what you got to do.
Got to do it.
So before we get out of here, since it's January, this is always like a nice, easy question to ask because it's time appropriate. What are your goals for 2025 with this project? Like, do you have any specific goals or anything you want to reach this year?
I just want to get the music out. We have about 6 completed songs, and then we have a whole bunch in the pipeline. So I would love to have a song out every month. We are on schedule currently, so we're good. but I'd love to have a song out every month, play, and just grow the project and see what happens. I just, for all the years that I've been doing this, I just know the most important thing is that you can't control a lot about what happens in the music industry. So just do what you can in the moment, put those songs out, play some shows, and, you know, see what magic happens or doesn't.
Absolutely. I mean, that's a fair point. So
yeah, that's so, kind of where it's at.
Yeah. Yeah. And got a whole year ahead of you. Can't wait to see what you guys got for us. So, April, thank you for hopping on. This was very fun to talk to you about. And if you have any, I know you mentioned you were having that new metal night coming up, right? Mm-hmm. So if you have any dates or anything you want to put out there for people to look out for, the floor is yours.
Yeah, so we have that single coming out January 17th, and we have a show. We're playing about 2 or 3 new songs that if you were at the last live show, you have not heard them. So January 22nd at the End in Nashville. That'll be a cool night. And then there'll be more fun stuff coming out after that. So I think that's it. Yeah.
Hell yeah. What about any socials? I meant to say that too. Like any social media website.
Our main band page is at Mayasora Music, which is on Instagram and TikTok. If TikTok exists,
for
after
real.
Like today,
that's a whole nother conversation.
I know, right? Yeah, next one. But yeah, so everything is just Mayasora Music, MAIASAURA Music.
Right on. So everyone, make sure you go check them out. Their shit is badass. From what I've seen so far, we have a lot to look forward to for sure. And make sure you check them out. Also check out Raise Rowdy and Rowdy Alternative on our website. All our socials, we're everywhere. So thanks everyone for listening, and we'll see you guys next time. My boots look good on your bed, and I bet you can do some crazy things with those hips. Take you home tonight.